Hello.
So Val, you were saying something I was actually supposed to prepare? Oh, okay. Well, I'll let you know, preparing for this one was actually very difficult. Because I kept thinking God was saying, hey, this is something for you to share, but he was really saying, no, that was for you, Tim. So he gave me quite a bit to share today. But he said you're also going to be sharing a lot of things that you don't know about yet. So I'm not sure what's going to happen here. And all my notes are on two pages that are not in order. Because God kept on saying, no, that was for you, not for everyone else this morning. Okay. Whew. Well, it's been a warm few weeks, hasn't it? Thank goodness I've been somewhere that's a little bit cooler. I wanted to start out by saying, God, we serve an amazing God. I've been out at Camp White Branch for the last 3 weeks, and this was an amazing 3 weeks. I got to really see how God can really work in people's lives and, when necessary, get under their skin and break them down to the ground and make them listen. It was amazing. Last week was senior high camp, and we had 37 students out there. And we can name 7 students that God took and broke down and changed their lives in amazing ways. Okay, but enough of that. Before I can really go much farther, I need to define one thing. What is the church? Okay, so what is the church? Well, the church is defined a few different ways by different groups of people. You can go ahead and advance that because my notes are half there and half there, so I need both. As defined by Christians, the church is the body of Christ. Christ's hands and feet here on this world to do his will and to reach out. His chosen people. The people that make up God's family. There's another big definition that is defined. The world defines the church as a social club. A hypocritical religious group that claims to be the chosen people of God and preaches his message of damnation to the rest of the world. A religious group that consistently falls short of the standard that they set for themselves. You can wait there for just a second. I don't know about you, but seeing the difference between those two definitions troubles me. We're supposed to be God's light in this world. And the world sees us as the opposite of his message of you aren't good enough. There's one more definition, the Bible, which probably a good place to take our definition of the church from. In the Greek translation that we get the word church from, there's only actually one word they used. And there's probably someone who knows Greek in here better than me that can probably correct my pronunciation, but the word is ekklesia. I believe that's how it's supposed to be pronounced. And it's a complicated word. I took a while to break it down, but the two main parts are the preface ek and the root kello. Together, it roughly means a calling out of a popular meeting spot place, especially meaning a religious congregation or an assembly of people. Now, with those definitions in mind, let's take a look at what Jesus highlighted as the greatest commandment for us to follow. The Pharisees heard that the Sadducees weren't able to answer Jesus, so the Pharisees got together. One of them was an authority on the law, so he tested Jesus with a question. Teacher, he asked, what is the most important commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and love him with all your mind and with all your strength. This is the first and most important commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Everything that is written in the law and the prophets is based on these two commands. Now, we're going to go ahead and go on a little bit because there's another place in the Gospels that has this same passage. Mark 12:28-31 states, "And the teachers of the law came and heard the Sadducees arguing." He noticed that Jesus had given the Sadducees a good answer. So he asked him, "Which is the most important of all the commands?" Jesus answered, "Here is the most important one. Moses said, 'Israel, listen to me. The Lord is our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul. Love him with all your mind and with all your strength.' Here is the second one. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. There is no commands more important than these." Because there's one more version I'd like to use, and that's the Tim paraphrase version. Love God with every part of your being. Love him with all your feelings, with all your emotions, your words, your actions, and even with all your thoughts. The second is love others at least as much as you love yourself. So, love God and love people. So, how do you love God? I mean, you can't give him gifts of appreciation the same way we do because, think about it, God made everything, he has everything. If you want something, he just goes, pop, hey, look. But God doesn't need our love. We need to love God. And we love him by giving of our time, resources, affection, how you love a person. So, we can also love God by loving his creation and taking care of it. So we can love God by loving people. So, why is it that if one of our biggest commands is to love God and love people, the world sees us as so unloving? Maybe it's because of this. When was the last time that we were watching someone on the street or someone cut us off and you went, "That idiot." I did that the other day and I felt really bad afterwards. We're really good at saying, "That's not good," and not as good about saying, "Hey, let me help you out." I was watching someone the other day. Someone had broken down on the road, and I was thinking, should I pull over? Oh, I don't really have time. So I drove around the block just to see what happened, and someone else stopped and got the car up and running quickly again. It was like, wow, that person valued the other person that they may or may not have known. I don't know. But I went, what if all of us could do something simple just like that? Hey, here's something I can do for you. Just let me help. It would be a really amazing way for us to be able to go from the religious elite that everyone kind of looks down on because they go, why are they so judging? To they're actually there to help us. So, I got a catchphrase a few weeks ago. John saw this one a few weeks back. You can go ahead and hit it again. We have to stop going to church. We need to be the church. Stop leading a double life. On Sundays, I know the right answers. I can tell you the answers to everything. But why can't those be acted out? Go ahead. Stop judging people that think and look differently than you. Everyone's entitled to an opinion. It's just their opinion's wrong. Not always. It's just different. And why do we have to treat people who aren't of the same religious belief system than us like they're any less than us? Because God created us all equal. And he loves us all the same. I'm going to segue a little bit, so this totally going off the slideshow. Because God started saying, okay, here's one of the other things you're sharing this morning, after I got here, so there was no changing it at that point. But God asked me this morning to share my testimony. And then there was reference of someone sharing one the other day, and I'm like, ooh, should I still do that? And he's like, yes, okay. I was born in a Christian family, grew up in the church. I knew all the right answers. I was saved at a fairly young age. I accepted Christ for the first time at 5 years old. And God told me then that I'd be up in front of a congregation someday. I'd be a pastor, or at least a full-time minister of some sort. He didn't necessarily say exactly where I'd be, what country I'd be in, what exactly I'd do. But I knew he was calling me to ministry. And it's an amazing feeling when you're 5 years old, down here somewhere, and everyone else is like, I want to be a firefighter, I want to be a policeman. And I was like, no, I want to change people's lives. As I grew up, kind of drifted away, as a lot of us tend to do, especially if we grew up in a religious setting. And I got to the point where I didn't want to have anything to do with God. I still went to a church every Sunday, and I knew all the right answers. I'd be the one to answer the questions in youth group. But I was not preparing to change people's life. I was completely content sitting in a corner and being quiet. Then a few years ago, God stopped me. I was out at a youth camp, and it actually happened to be a Young Life camp. So it's an outreach camp. And God said, you're one of the people who's being reached out to this week. Don't think you're any more than them. And he stopped me. My best analogy is he hit me upside the head with a sledgehammer and said, listen. And I went, okay, maybe I'll give you a little bit of thought. And then everything that I enjoyed doing, all the things I liked doing off in my little corner, my own little world, loved working with computers, they weren't satisfying. And God, the next week was camp meeting. And B.J. Kuykendall was the youth speaker that year. And of course, what was he talking about? Putting things before God. And God met me there again that week. And he said, Tim, I have a calling for you. I have a purpose. And I went, God, but I can't talk in front of people. It's not something I'm good at. He went, don't worry about that. I'll teach you how to talk in front of people. And the last day, BJ came up to me and he said, Tim, I have to leave right after morning service this morning. So this program that we've been doing in the afternoon, either it's not going to happen or you're running it this today. And I went, what? But then I sat down and my logic went, okay, there have been 5 people who've come every day, and I'm one of them, and 3 of them are good friends, and another one of the people knows all the right answers. It'll be fine. We'll be good. Well, that day, 3 of those people didn't come, and 4 other people did. And those 4 people had had lives that were filled with pain and brokenness. And God put me on my knees that afternoon and said, Tim, I have a calling for you. I want you to reach those people. Story kind of has a happy ending. One of the people was a counselor this last week at senior high camp. So that turned out okay. But God's really put on my heart people and loving people. And I look at the church, the world's definition, and go, wow, there is a reason that they look at us the way we do. And then in some circles, when people say, what's your faith? I don't claim Christianity. I don't. I say, I have a relationship with Jesus, the Christ, the Savior of the world. And everyone goes, what? And it makes people ask questions, and they go, well, isn't that the same as that? And I say, some of them. But if God's church is going to be a place that's just a social club, then I'm not going to have a part of it. Where God leads, I will go. Okay, let's go on. I think I've dug far enough there. There's my big text, be the church. But we have to stop going to church. We need to be the church, be God's people in the world to reach everyone. I think you've probably heard me use this passage before. I tend to do it quite a bit because I think it's something that's so important that we miss in our own communities. We send missionaries out. But what about the person right next door? What about the person in the broken down car at the end of the street? Matthew 28:16-20. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When he saw them, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. Surely I, the Lord God, he has promised that he will be with us, giving us his blessings, the strength we need to persist, everything we need. But there is a clause. We have to be willing to say, okay, God, I'm here. What do you want me to do? I ran the other way, and God stopped me and said, no, turn around. I've got something else for you. He doesn't speak that way to everyone, but he does speak to everyone. The Bible says, even the rocks cry out. We don't have an option. If we're going to continue associating ourselves in the world with our Creator, we have to act like he told us to.